Well, good morning, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Chris, and I'm the curate here, so it's exciting to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Now, have you ever experienced a day so significant that as a result of it, everything changed? Maybe it's waking up to that global news, a news story of a tragedy. Maybe it was hearing the news of the loss of a loved one. I do want to encourage you to come Tuesday night. If that's you, we'd love to celebrate the lives of those who have gone before us. Maybe it's the birth of a new life. So I've just become an uncle. My sister gave birth to little Jessica a few days ago. So it's so exciting. News that has changed everything. Or maybe it's something really, really bad, like for Gareth, when the Spice Girls announced that they were splitting up and life would never be the same again. Too soon? But in our gospel reading today, we're introduced to a man who he could point back to a day when a significant moment happened that changed everything. And that was an encounter with Jesus. Now, when I say Zacchaeus, or as my wife says, Zacchaeus, very posh, you may have, if you were brought up in Sunday school, you may have heard a little song. Zacchaeus was a little wee man, or a very little man, depending on your translation. And the amount of people that I've said, oh, I'm preaching this week, and, oh, what are you preaching on? Zacchaeus. And they're like, oh, Zacchaeus was a... Like, and it's this kind of thing. Oh, are you preaching to kids then? Well, kind of, looking out here. No, I'm not. I'm preaching to the adults. And sometimes I think we give a disservice to this story because actually it's not just a terrible kids' action song. Actually, it's a powerful, amazing encounter with Jesus. And there's a generous response to a gracious invitation. I want to hold that again, a generous response to a gracious invitation. Now, if, like me, you weren't brought up in church and you're thinking, well, who the heck is Zacchaeus? Well, thankfully, Wikipedia did all the work for me. So this, apparently, is Zacchaeus, looking majestic with that beard. I'm very, very jealous, actually, in HDR, which was exceptionally good for the time. So this is Zacchaeus. And in Scripture, we read that he was a tax collector, that he was rich, and that he was short. Now, a tax collector, so he worked for the Roman government, and he wasn't liked, because tax collectors wrenched you of all your money. They were greedy, they were corrupt, there was all sorts of expense scandals, which you could never imagine happening in today's climate, I'm sure. And therefore, he was rich. He was so wealthy, and where did he get his wealth from? Well, it was at the expense of all those around him. So he wasn't on many people's Christmas cards list. He wasn't a popular guy. And the third thing that the commentators love to laugh at is that he was short, which I think is a little bit harsh. But apparently, in Middle Eastern culture, short was under 5 foot. So there you go. You can have that one for free. But interestingly, his name, Zacchaeus, means righteous one. But all the people around him would have probably called him the self-righteous one. Because actually, he was like the perfect apprentice candidate. I don't know if you watched The Apprentice, but just cocky and a bit flashy and all those kind of things. Thinks he's got it all. But what we're going to do is see that this guy, who actually was pretty spiritually bankrupt, actually. He may have been materially rich, but he was pretty spiritually bankrupt until he had an encounter with Jesus. So we're going to look at just three things from this encounter. The first is this. I love that he's got this childlike curiosity and creativity. That's the first point. He wanted to see who Jesus was. I love that. He wanted to see. He's like, who is this Jesus guy that everyone is talking about? Why is it all the crowds are going out and following him? What is it about his teaching? Why is it when he stretches out his hands, people are getting healed and set free from all sorts of things? I want to know for myself who this guy is. He's passing through. I am going to be there. And the other thing I love about it is his creativity, because we said, bless him, he's a little bit small. He legged it off ahead of everyone else and climbed the tree. And in that culture, you did not run. You just did not run if you were a man, and you were in a powerful position, you did not run and you certainly did not climb. That's what little children do. And I love that Gareth was saying last week that we're to come to God, not in our pride, but in our humility. We come almost childlike. And Jesus says, you know, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, come as a child. And I love it that Zacchaeus has got this childlike curiosity, throwing pride to the side, throwing his status to the side. He's like, I want to see Jesus and no one is going to stop me. And children are curious though, aren't they? They're curious by nature. My son, Jacob, he's 10 now, but when he was 4 or 5, I was taking him to Asda to do the big shop, as you do. And he said just really loudly some very profound words. He said, and I quote, "Dad, why does that woman next to us have a beard?" And I was like, oh, don't speak about your mum like that. No, I was like, joking. But there's something about children, they're just so curious. It was so embarrassing. Yeah, he didn't care, he was just curious. And Zacchaeus comes with a curiosity when it comes to Jesus. So are you curious when it comes to Jesus? Are you creative? Are you wanting to explore who he is? And how, I want to throw a challenge out there already. You'll find that in my preaching. I like to kind of tickle and then give you a slap because I love you all. But how are you positioning yourself daily to see and encounter Jesus? What does that look like for you? Okay, the second thing, a gracious invitation. Jesus looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And as Jesus is passing through Jericho, he's about to enter Jerusalem where he was going to give and lay down his life for the sake of the world. And as he passes through, he sees Zacchaeus. He sees him and he knows him. He knows him by name and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to invite myself into your life. We're going to go on a journey together. I'm coming to your house." "Oh, great. Can we not go to Nando's?" "No, I'm coming to your house and you're cooking." Okay? He invites himself in and it's a gracious invitation. Do you know here and now, like really know, that same invitation that Jesus looking at Zacchaeus and saying, "I know you, even all the mess that you're in, your corruption, I know all that about you, and yet I still love you, and I want to do life with you." Do you know that that invitation extends to you right now, even this morning? It's absolutely beautiful. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And one of the things that Gareth has been showing us is this narrative theology, this big vision of our story. Because this isn't just Zacchaeus' story. This is our story. That God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in need of nothing. And yet out of that love, he created the world. A place of adventure and potential and beauty and creativity. And he set humanity within it lovingly. He said, "Let's do relationship together. Let's walk together. Let's invest in this place together." And yet very early on in scripture, we see the story of the fall where humanity said, "Do you know what? Screw you, God. I don't need you. I'm going to be my own God." And we see, don't we, even now, that the further that humanity comes away from God, the more of a mess we see the world to be, the more of the chaos we see of our lives. But God didn't give up. He gave, he called a people unto himself, Israel, blessed to be a blessing. But they lost sight of who God is. They kept worshipping all the other things. And God was still saying, "Look, I'm for you." And he ultimately showed that in Jesus Christ, the one who came to seek and save all that was lost. And he's building the church, and we are part of that right now. And we've got an exciting part to play, the us bit. Jesus is coming back. He's going to restore all things into himself, and we get to play a part of calling that into being now. We pray, don't we, the kingdom of God, as in heaven, here on earth, we get to play a part there. Do you know that you're part of this story? It's the most exciting, liberating, amazing news that we have to share with people. It's amazing. So a theologian called Wiersbe puts it like this. Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him. When our first parents sinned, they hid from God, but God came and sought them. When Jesus was ministering on earth, he sought out the lost. And today the Holy Spirit, through the church, is searching for lost sinners. I love that. This is the adventure that we are on, that we've called to be on. But like any invitation, it demands a response. So the third thing and the last thing that we're going to look at together, a generous response. Zacchaeus, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, if you've been journeying through Luke's gospel, there's another story that will be ringing in your ears as you sort of hear this. It's a story of another rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to get eternal life? And this is not a sinful person. He's not a contestant. I was going to say, it doesn't mean you have to be sinful to be on The Apprentice, but he's not an apprentice contestant. I love The Apprentice, by the way. But what he is moral. He's upstanding. He's like, but what must I do to receive eternal life? And he's like, if you want to play that game, mate, then you're going to have to give away all of your possessions, everything you're attached to, everything that influences you in money, give it away, then you can have it. And you know what? He can't do it. And he walks away. And yet here we see Zacchaeus, this little guy with a big attitude, who's sinful, who's messed around. He encounters the grace of Jesus and he says, yes, yes. And he sees something more than just the wealth. You know, if you really taste something of Jesus, if you really encounter Jesus, the things of old grow strangely dim, like that hymn talks about. I know it in my own life, from fighting and all different things that I was involved with, and going out drinking and trying to be a lad. It just looked dim when compared to seeing Jesus. It's an amazing, generous response that he gives. And you know what Jesus is doing here, and he does it throughout Luke's gospel. He's redefining what it means to be lost. You know, you can be lost in your sin, in your sinful living, in your ways. Yeah, you can be lost in that. But also, you can just be as lost in your right, upstanding, moral thing. I do the right thing, because we all need Jesus. That's the plain and simple thing is we need the grace that he offers, and we need to respond by saying, yes, I'm in. That's all he needs. Confess him as Lord, but then there's something else as well. It's not just Zacchaeus goes, okay, Jesus, yeah, you're my master, you're my Lord. Thanks a lot for that, mate. See you later. No, no, it demands response. Grace demands a response. He says, in the light of what you're giving me, everything else can go. You're my greatest influence and attachment now, Jesus. You can have it all. You can have the rest of it. And that's so important. What is your greatest influence and attachment? Is it Jesus? For me, it's not always. And I have to fight for that, and I have to remind myself. And this is why we have community together, to remind each other we are Jesus's. Stop messing around with the things of this world. They do not satisfy. But come to Jesus and give him your yes. Zacchaeus confesses Christ as Lord and changes his actions. And I just want to make one last clear point. He doesn't give away to somehow earn God's favor. There's people who have talked about this and done theological commentaries and like, well, no, because Jesus demands so much and he gives away so then he can be loved. No, he doesn't do that at all. It's because of God's grace that he gives, not to earn God's grace. And that's so important here that we make that distinction. And as Tom Wright puts it, my final thing we'll say here, where Jesus is, their salvation is to be found for those who accept him as master and reorder their lives accordingly. I love that. Jesus is giving you the most gracious invitation to come and do life with him. What is your response going to be? Is today going to be another day of salvation where we are brought into the family of God because, again, we realign ourselves with Jesus and say, yes. So let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you that in Jesus Christ, we have the most crazy invitation to life and life in its fullness. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it, Lord, but we want to say yes to you. We want to say yes to your kingdom, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray even now, Lord, even if there's people here who have never said yes to Jesus, that, Lord, this would be a day of salvation, a day of healing, a day of wholeness, a day of knowing that we are known and that we are loved. And we pray this not just for the sake of this church and even this city, but for the sake of Jesus, who died and now is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit evermore. Amen.